How does a person know when to start Avelos? In an ideal scenario, so two witnesses will come and tell him that he has an obligation to start Avelos, or alternately, he'll observe with his own two eyes that he has an obligation to start Avelos. However, under some circumstances, a person will not be able to access such good evidence, and therefore they'll be stuck based on whatever evidence they have. Should they trust that truly a close relative passed on and that they're obligated to begin Avelos? Or should they not trust the evidence that they have, but rather wait for more concrete evidence? So there's a number of types of evidence which are less important or less reliable than being an eyewitness yourself or hearing it from two valid witnesses. I'm going to first make a list of what some of those are, and then I will detail some of the background and the bases for the disputes that surround these different types of witnesses. So number one, Eid Echad. If a single kosher witness testifies that a close relative passed on, should you start Avelos right away, or should a person wait until he hears from two witnesses? Number two, Eid Mipi Eid. If two witnesses heard from two other witnesses that the close relative passed away, so, or in Beis Din, when it comes to monetary cases, etc., those would be unreliable. Do we say that they are similarly unreliable by Avelos, and that you should wait until two witnesses who observed firsthand the Misa arrive on the scene? Or does one start Avelos right away when they hear it from these Edim Mipi Edim? Case number three. What if it's a Karov? What if it's a close relative of yours who tells you, who's one of the witnesses? So a Karov is Pasul Le'edos. He's not qualified to give testimony in Beis Din that relates to his relative. But when it comes to Avelos, perhaps we can make exceptions. What about a woman? A woman is Pasul Le'edos in monetary and capital cases. What about when it comes to Avelos? Another case, what about when it's not derech edos, when somebody says something from which you infer that there's a chovas avelos, but they never state it outright? So in a court, when it comes to monetary and capital cases, you would need it to be stated outright. An inference would not be sufficient. What about by avelos? If you can infer from what they said that there's a chova to begin avelos, do you start right away or do you wait for them to say it explicitly? And finally, two more controversial cases. Number one, if a non-Jew says Eidos b'meisiach lefitumo, it's part of a conversation. He's not intending to testify for you. He doesn't realize the gravity that his words are impacting on you with. He doesn't realize that. He's just saying it in conversation. And you realize from what he said, oh my goodness, there's a chovas avelos. Can you rely on that to start Avelos or not? And finally, what if you have a guy who actually intends, who realizes the gravity that you're investing his words with, and he says Eidos? So I want to just mention now the background, very briefly, of some of these issues. Let's go backwards. A guy who intends to say Eidos. So on the one hand, there's a rule called Milsa Da'avida Le'egluye, something which ultimately will become known to everybody. The Shach in Yoredeya and the Ramban over here both say that nobody will lie when their lie will be exposed very, very shortly. So if because the fact that whether or not this guy died will shortly become known to you, even a guy will not risk lying about it. Therefore, says the Ramban, you can rely on him. However, the Maharam, as quoted in the Mardechai, seems to say that you cannot rely on the guy in such a case, because in general, the Maharam evinces a strong skepticism towards anything which the guy tells you, because he's worried that the guy may simply be doing it in order to annoy us. So that's one important machlokes. The Ramban versus the mahram in a case of a goy who comes and intentionally intends to testify before us about the misa of so-and-so. The Ramban says, Milsa David Leguye, he's not going to risk the embarrassment that comes along with being found out to be a liar. But the Maram says, no, can't trust them. Perhaps their desire to frustrate us will override their aversion to embarrassment. That's machlokas number one. Machlokas number two. What about a guy who's Mesiach Lifi Tumo? In the course of his general conversation, he makes it known to you that a person died, but he doesn't realize the gravity that you're investing his words with. So what's the halacha in that type of a case? So again, the Maharam will tell you, well, we're skeptical. We're still skeptical, even in that case. The Ramban will tell you again, it's a Milsa David Legluye, he's not going to risk the embarrassment. Okay. However, the Shulchan Aruch splits the psak on these two, because when the guy realizes the gravity that you're treating his testimony with, he'll be more likely, he'll have bigger Yetzer Hara to try to frustrate us, and that may overcome his fear of embarrassment. However, when he's not even aware of the importance that his words have to us, then he doesn't have a conscious motivation to lie, so we assume that it's more likely that he's telling the truth. What about an aid echad, a single witness? So we have a number of pieces of evidence in the Gemara about this. Number one, the Gemara tells a story that Rav met Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya asked Rav what's doing, and Rav sort of hinted to him that Rabbi Chiya ought to start sitting Shiva, he's an Avel, because close relatives of his passed away. That's a story in the Gemara. Even though it seems that Rav was a relative of Rabbi Chiya, and Rav was only a single witness. This, says the Ramban, is a raya that a single witness is sufficient to cause people to start sitting Shiva. You do not have to wait for the arrival of two witnesses. However, the Maharam once again challenges the Ramban on this issue. The Maharam basically points out that an Eid Echad in general is not credible. In many, many areas, an Eid Echad, a single witness, is not believed. Why should Avelos, he says, be any different? And if you'll invoke for me the principle Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurin, that a single witness in anything other than monetary, family, or capital cases has credibility, says the Maharam, a tremendous chiddush, which we don't necessarily accept, that an Eid Echad is only believed lehakel, to be lenient. An Eid Echad is not believed to be stringent. And causing one to start avelos is a stringency. Therefore, Eid Echad is not believed. The source of the Maharam's chiddush is in Hilchos Nida, which is the source of Eid Echad Ne'eman Bisurin. We say that a woman who tells her husband that she's counted 7 days and then now she is Tahora, now she is permitted to him, is believed even though there are no two witnesses corroborating her statement. Says the Maharam, so we see that an Eid Echad is believed, this woman is credible, but only to be lenient on herself, to permit herself to her husband. To forbid, says the Maharam, there is no source that an Eid Echad is believed. Okay, let's see some more rayos for the Ramban. The Ramban brings another raya and says, we know that if a single witness testifies that an aguna's husband has passed away, an aguna is a woman whose husband disappeared overseas and one doesn't know if he's alive or dead, If a single witness shows up on the scene and testifies that the husband passed away, the woman is permitted to get remarried. This is the Gemara in Yevamos. However, she is also entitled, we paskin, to collect her ksuba, because if this Eid Echad is Neman, is credible, to allow her to get remarried, even though that's risking a tremendous penalty, it's risking a penalty of kares, certainly the Eid Echad should be credible in terms of being motzi mamun. So the Ramban applies the same logic to avelos. If a single witness is credible to force her or to permit her to get remarried and to permit her to collect her ksuba, certainly that single witness who testifies that her husband died is credible to make her mourn for the husband. How can she get remarried, assuming that the witness is telling the truth that her husband is dead, and never mourn for him? She's got to mourn also. So a single witness is credible in the case of an aguna to create a chova, an obligation of mourning on the woman. And says the Ramban, just like over there, we have to believe the single witness, because for an aguna, we got to believe him to permit her to remarry, and therefore we've got to believe him to make her sit Shiva. So too, we therefore have to extend that and say, well, if he's believed over there, it wouldn't make sense to say that he's not believed with regard to Avelos anywhere else. So basically, in order to permit the Aguna to get remarried, we also permit people to start Avelos on the basis of testimony of a single witness. That's the second argument of the Ramban, which the Vilna Gaon also cites in Shulchan Aruch Simin Shin Tzadi Zayin. What other arguments are relevant here? One other argument, and that is the Gemara or Mishnah tells us that if Goyim, non-Jews, are selling fruits and they claim that the fruits are kosher, that they don't have certain tithes which have yet to be taken from them, there's a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi, wherein Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, says that the non-Jews are to be believed. That, says the Ramban, is precedent also over here for a single witness and even a non-Jew to be believed and to enable a person to start sitting Shiva based on his testimony. One does not have to wait for two valid kosher Jewish witnesses which would be necessary for monetary, family, or capital cases. When it comes to Avelos, says the Ramban, we apply leniencies, we believe non-Jews, we believe single witnesses, we believe close relatives, and we allow people to start sitting Shiva even without an explicit statement, even if it's just a hint or an inference drawn from what they said.